Okay. So the bracha is to Yehuda, Eishu la gefen iroi v'lasarei kabini asenei kibes bayayin lewushoi v'damanav m'susoi chachlili einayim miyayin. Your eyes are, the word I think it means red. Is that what it means? Chachlili einayim miyayin? Your eyes are, let's see Rashi, pasuk yibes, l'shoin oidem, red. That's not a good thing. An eye doctor will tell you that if your eyes are bloodshot, you're in a lot of trouble. That's not a good sign. It's not a good, healthy sign. No, they have now very scary apps. Someone told me they have an app that can tell your blood pressure by studying your eye with accuracy. Dr. Friedman, you ever hear such a thing? Is such a thing? To analyze your eye, and through analyzing your eye, you can figure out your blood pressure. I got to see this for myself. Let's see. Chachlili einayim miyayin. Your eyes are more red than wine. Wine is altere yayim ki yisadom. Yayin, the color of wine, the ideal color of wine is red. Rashi loshen oidem kitargumay uvechein lemi chachlilois einayim in mishlei. Now that means because people who drink wine, their eyes get red. Is that true? It says it's true. Bloodshot. When you drink a lot of wine, your eyes become red. Okay, so that basically means that you can have an abundance of yayin. It's a blessing. You're going to be wealthy. A wealthy person has good wine. And then it says, uleven shinayim mecholav. Yaakov is blessing Yehuda that your teeth will be whiter than milk. Let's see, Rashi, how you learn this. Meroiv cholov, due to the abundance of milk, sheyehe bi'artsoi, in his land, in the land of Yehuda, there will be a pasture, there will be many sheep, there will be cows, and animal livestock which will produce milk. There will be an abundance of milk, and you'll drink a lot of milk, and the milk will cause your teeth to become white. Now, is there any scientific correlation between milk and white teeth, Dr. Beanstalk?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, he says, that we know of scientifically. But I guess when you drink, I'm sure you've seen the commercials. Got milk, right? Yeah, you saw those commercials all over the buses. They stopped those advertisements a long time ago. But got milk, so they show there's some white residue on your mustache of milk. So milk is always associated with whiteness. I guess there's some residue, at least temporarily, that's resting on your teeth, whatever that means. He writes, Meirov cholav sheyehe bi'artso mire toiv le'eder tzayin v'chei perishan mikro oidem einayim yehe meirov yayin uleben shinayim yehe meirov cholav. Okay, then he goes on over here and he discusses other things about teeth. But over here we learn about, now there is a very beautiful Balaturim on this pasuk, I believe. And the Balaturim, let me find the Balaturim. No, I think it's not, it's the Das Bala Zakenim.
Oh.
Is it the Das Zakenim? Okay, but the Vard goes something along the lines that if you study, the blessing of Yehuda is the longest blessing from all of the Shvatim. Yaakov blessed all of his children, and the one that he blessed the most is Yehuda. Very long, elaborate blessing. All of the letters of the Aleph Beis appear in the blessing that Yaakov gave to Yehuda, with the exception of the letter Zayin. There is no letter Zayin. And what is the letter? What does Zion mean as a word? A weapon. A Zion is a weapon. Now that's very problematic because Yehuda is Malchus. And what is the essence of Malchus? Power. The Cold War. United States, Soviet Union. How do you fight the war? Whoever has more nukes wins. Whoever has more weapons wins. You don't have to actually shoot the weapons, but you have to have the weapons. And you have to have a strong military. That's part of Trump's, his platform. Part of his agenda is to rebuild the arsenal of the United States. Whoever has more nukes wins. Because if you have more nukes, everyone is afraid of you. That's the whole big issue of selling F-35s to United Emirates. By selling them F-35s, you are altering the power balance in the Middle East. Until now, who has the most sophisticated, shiny weapons? The state of Israel. By allowing other Arab nations to have F-35s, which have supposedly the most sophisticated weapons and power in the world, so Israel is no longer the only big boy on the block. There's some other big boys on the block, and it can change the balance of power. Okay, so it's all about Malchus, as we know it in world history, is clearly defined as having toys. Big, expensive, sophisticated toys that can blow up the world in moments. So how could it then be, how could it possibly be that Yehuda, which is the Shevet of Malchus of Klal Yisrael, and has within it every single blessing, every single letter of the Aleph Beis, the building blocks of creation, appear in the blessing of Yehuda, but it's lacking, is missing the most essential letter that it needs for its establishment, the letter Zion, which means a weapon. My high, how could that possibly be? So you can say what you want to say. You can say that that's exactly the point. The Malchus of Klal Yisrael is not a Malchus of weapons. For the United States, for the Soviet Union, for other countries, that's right, that's Malchus, that's the Malchus in the world. The world, the secular world, the world that operates according to the laws of nature, the essence of Malchus is power. And power is rooted in weapons of mass destruction. But Klal Yisrael is a Malchus, a Mamleches Koyhanim V'Goy Kodosh. You don't need weapons. That's not what makes Klal Yisrael into a Malchus. Mamleches Koyhanim V'Goy Kodosh, no Zayin, no weapons. It's Hashem is giving us a polite reminder. Hashem is, in a very polite way, is telling us, don't lose focus. We live in a dangerous world. It's true, you have the most sophisticated weapons in the Middle East, but you have to know the main one. Thank you very much for the coffee. Enjoy. I hope it's not going to make my teeth dark, but...
Rabbi Levine, where did you see what? Something about the letter Zion?
I just said, there's no letter Zion in the brachos of Yehuda. That's what I just said. In the brach... What?
That
yeah?
You quoted from somewhere, right?
I think it's the Das HaSekein. The Baal, if I'm not mistaken, it's the... The Das, the Balei Tosfos, Midas Zikeinim. It usually appears in the back of the Mikrois Gedolos Chumash. I believe that's where it is. It could be I'm mistaken, but I think that's where I saw it. And all the letters appear except for the letter Zion. And over here we have a whole drush of why there is no Zion. I remember seeing another very beautiful answer, which could be it's even a Gemara. I don't remember how this whole thing comes together. We do indeed have the ultimate weapon. Yehuda does have the ultimate weapon. And what is the weapon? Uleben shinayim mecholav, which means white teeth. What does it mean, white teeth? Smile. Smile for the camera. You can do more with a smile than you can do with a weapon. Diplomacy. I don't know if that's the right word. I don't know if diplomacy is the correct term, but derech eretz, if you smile, you open up your mouth and you smile and you wish a person good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and the smile reaches you move your lips to the degree where you can see the white of his teeth. Yoytze yidei chayvasoy of smiling. That is the Zion. The Zion is not a weapon. The weapon is uleben shinayim. You will be a person of teeth. A ben means you will be a nation, a shevet. That is a ben, meaning a child, an entity of teeth. Nice people. He gave them a blessing that you should have good midos. pleasant to deal with, smile, have pleasant conversation. Don't go, you go to the person comes into you, don't shoot them off. Don't be a loose cannon with weapons. Smile, be pleasant. That is the ultimate weapon. Okay, so this is a general idea as Hagdama to our topic today, and probably will hopefully for tomorrow also. And now let's jump ahead into some of the halachic issues I want
to
discuss.
Of course, yeah. That Levin has nothing to do with a bane, right?
Okay, dude, how do you translate the word from Levin? You have an English translation
Levin
here?
Levin means the whiteness, Lavan.
The Lavan Shinaya Mechalov? So that's what Rashi discussed.
Levin, the whiteness of the teeth.
Not an entity, not an entity. What does the Targum say? Targum Pasuk Yud Beis says, it says, Kisusei Mela, Tzva Zohori, Vitziv, no, that's the wrong Pasuk, I'm the wrong Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, Usuchume, Yechavron, Bik Osei, Biibur, Uve Edrei Ona. It will be white, Yechavron, Bik Osei, his valley, Biibur, Uve Edrei Ona, with flock, with sheep. Uleben Shinaya Mechalav. You're saying Lavan? When I say the word Uleben means Lavan, white? All right, maybe I made a mistake. I thought Uleben means you're an entity. Rashi says, Lefit Targumo Inayim, let's look at Rashi over here. Yechavun Bikosei Tirgum Shinayim, teeth Loshoin Shinei Hasloim, the teeth of the rocks. Shinaim is Shein, and Ben means Lavan. Meirov Cholim Metzon. Okay, I made a mistake.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
No, there, it's good. Devarim Shamarti Toho Sein Biyadi. Uleven, the Targum is translating whiteness. Uleven Shinayim Miloshon of Loiven, whiteness, white teeth. Mecholov, due to an abundance of milk. The abundance of milk will allow you to present yourself as having white teeth. And we're interpreting this al derech drush homiletically, this is not my part, is that you'd be blessed that you will move your lips in a way, such a way where the whiteness of your teeth will present itself to your fellow man. You will smile. And what you can do with a smile is more powerful than what you can do with a weapon. The reason why there is no letter Zion in the bracha that Yaakov gave to Yehuda is to teach him that when you smile, that is the ultimate weapon. Okay, now let's take that as a little hagdama to discuss some of the laws of teeth. I have over here.
By the way, mechalav means from, more than halav.
More than that, more.
More white. More Levin.
More white.
Whiter.
Your teeth should be whiter than milk. More white than milk.
More white than
halak. Right. More white. Okay. Right. But the Rashi also points out what does this also mean? I mean, it alludes to the fact that you're going to have an abundance of milk in your land because you'll have a lot of mire, a lot of animals, livestock that produce milk. And that milk alludes to Christ. So this is all symbolic. These are very hard words to translate, obviously. These words are poetic. They're hard words. So we're going to translate now. Leben Shnayim, the whiteness of your teeth will be more pristine than milk itself. There are many shades of white. The white of teeth is supposed to be a very pure shade of white. But your teeth will be even whiter, which means health. Good teeth is a big. What it means, maybe we'll spend more time on this tomorrow, on more psha on the pasuk. But let's now use this as a springboard to this. Not that we need a springboard, but to discuss something about laws of teeth. I have over here a sefer. This is an expensive sefer. It's a very chosh of a sefer. It's called.
By the way, it's in Yehuda, because he was chatati, and it so im yuchata echem kashanim kashele yalbinu. because he chazar b'tshuva, pam echad, pam shniya.
Yehuda did teshuva. Yehuda, right, very good, excellent. You're saying a very good idea, because since Yehuda did teshuva, he was the one that was involved in selling Yosef, and then he vayered Yehuda me'etzachaf. He went to the ish adulami, ushmo chira. He got married. He had a daughter, and then he had the heir of Einan. All that was part of the process of doing teshuva.
Who wrote this book? A dentist.
Okay, this book is awesome. This book, I could never even write one chapter of a book like this. This book is just, I don't know, there are certain people out there that have brilliant minds. I don't know how they do this. These people are very, very smart. And it's called Keser David. Keser David, the Halakha Guide to Dentistry. Rabbi Dr. David J. Katz. Does anyone know who he is? He lives in this neighborhood. Okay, he's a dentist, obviously. You read this book, you get dizzy at the sources. It's very, very well written. It's,
what are you saying? You break your teeth on it?
Yeah, I break my teeth on it. And he discusses basically everything and anything related to dentistry. A lot of the things you'd be surprised have nothing to do with dentistry. I mean, they're related, like Hilchos Nida. Hilchos Nida, a woman. There's a very big topic in this book, is a woman who has dentures, a woman who has dental work, and she needs to go to the mikvah, she wants to go to the mikvah, is it called a chatzitza? When she has temporarily in her mouth all different types of contraptions, work, dentures, this, that, implants, some things are temporary, some things are permanent, how does that affect the laws of chatzitza when going to a mikvah? That's a major topic of this savior, which we're not going to delve into. And then there are some, another major topic which we're going to talk about very briefly today is about Kohanim. Okay, now Dr. Beanstalk, anything that I say is incorrect or I mispronounced a million words, you'll help me along over here. First, before we get into the issue of Kohanim and grafting and taking bones from the dead to use in doing dental work, let's just first discuss some simple thing. Now, nothing is simple, some other relatively lighter things. Toothpaste. Did you give out free toothpaste to your patients? Okay. So toothpaste, does it require a hechsher? Does to this. Now the bottom line is, whatever I tell you today, obviously you're not gonna anyway listen to me. So I'm not trying to make trouble. Just want to just go over some of the issues. Does toothpaste need a hechsher? The bottom line is the vast majority of poskim say it does not. It does not require hechsher. There's another issue. What about Pesach? So we'll discuss some of these things very briefly. But there are definitely poskim that say it's not so simple. Our goal is to get an appreciation of why indeed this, that we totally ignore the need to have a hechsher on toothpaste, we ignore, it's not a simple thing. We halacha lemaisa, the poskim that we are familiar with, they tell us you need not worry, you don't need a hechsher, you can buy any toothpaste you want, you're good to go. But we should appreciate at least some of the issues that it is not really all that simple. Now let's discuss what are the issues. The issue is almost all toothpaste that is on the market today, come on, every with Bli Yotzei Min HaKlal, has glycerin. Glycerin is one of the major ingredients of toothpaste. Correct? And where does glycerin come from? It's an animal product. It can be derived from vegetables. It can be derived, but it's usually
gelatin or glycerin?
Glycerin, not gelatin. We're not up to gelatin yet. I'm talking about toothpaste does not have gelatin. The best that I know, gelatin is not an ingredient in the standard toothpaste that are on the, go into a pharmacy, 99% of the toothpaste do not have gelatin. But they all, probably, Bli Yotzei Min HaKlal have glycerin. Glycerin is a natural substance that is derived either from vegetables or from animal fats, chelev. Now, eating chelev, you should know, is a serious matter because of the chiyuv kares. Okay, it's not just a matter of it being not kosher. Chelev is kares. person needs a kazayas of chelev, that's not a lightweight avera to just take lightly eating chelev, forbidden fats. You'll ask a question, is the chelev of a non-kosher animal, of a like a type of animal that's not kosher, is that also kares? I believe no. Only chelev of kosher animals. But guess what? A lot of the chelev comes from kosher animals also. The chelev that is produced comes from animals that we would eat if it would have been slaughtered properly. So we're dealing over here with an item which is serious, which is very has a very severe prohibition. On the other hand, you have to also take into acknowledge, be aware, it's a very big doubt. You don't know where the manufacturer has acquired the glycerin. It's a doubt. Did he acquire the glycerin from a vegetable source? Did he acquire the glycerin from an animal source? If an animal source, is it a kosher animal or non-kosher animal? Are you even obligated to inquire on the ingredients list? They're not going to tell you. And if you call them up in the factory, they're not even going to know. In order to find out the truth, you have to make a launch a very thorough investigation, which probably the average person will not be able to get the first base. You need people who are skilled in making contact with the people who are actually involved in putting the ingredients together, and they're probably very secretive of exactly what they do, and it's not even easy to find out. All we know is all we have to work with is what it says on the ingredients list on the box, glycerin. So we're going to assume the worst. It might not be the worst, but we have to assume the worst, that this glycerin that has come from an animal, which might be a kosher animal, doesn't have to be slaughtered with a good shechita, but the fact is, if it comes from a type of animal that is a kosher animal, it's a real question of chelev. And chelev is a chayav kares. Who would want to put in their mouth something for which is chayav kares? Now, why do they put glycerin into toothpaste? It's magic. It's everything. It gives it a certain consistency. It prevents it from drying out. It makes it smooth. Does it benefit your teeth? No. Does not seem so. In fact, some argue that it's damaging to the teeth. It takes away. He writes over here. If I say it's incorrect, correct me. Okay, anything. He writes over here. There are all these very fancy words. I don't know how to pronounce. I'm not going to try to pronounce these words. But basically, what it does is it gives the toothpaste a smooth consistency for easy application. It enhances the ability of the toothpaste to brush on easily and to maintain its moistness. Okay, glycerin does not cause demineralization of the teeth unless it is used in conjunction with bleaching procedures. So it in itself is not damaging, but if you add other ingredients, the combination may be lethal. Okay, its consistency is syrup-like, oily, and remains a fluid. Glycerin is also used in toothpaste as both a sweetening and preserving, okay? It's a preservative agent. Some holistic dentists have claimed that glycerin film left some hole that it's very bad. Okay, here are the holistic doctors, okay? Okay, I don't know if you're into those type of doctors. I'm not from the big holistic type of people, but some holistic dentists do not like glycerin. They believe that it leaves a film left on teeth can prevent teeth from being able to remineralize, which is very important, after you brush off all the garbage, and might thereby weaken the teeth. So some of the mumchim hold that it's not such a good idea to use toothpaste because it's going to cause your teeth to get weak. I've never seen a dentist, heard of a dentist that will tell you not to use toothpaste. I guess these holistic dentists, they demand you, I don't know what kind of toothpaste they make. Whatever. This is nonsense. Whatever it is.
It's not a real problem.
Dr. Beanstalk, it's not a real problem. Use toothpaste. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech olam shakol nieh bidvaroy. I just dyed my teeth dark with coffee, black coffee. Now, in any event, we have glycerin. Glycerin is the magic. It's the magic ingredient. It's everything. It's the best thing since sliced bread. Glycerin enables the toothpaste to be a paste, for it to be preserved. Doesn't dry out. It's smooth. It gives it a little flavoring. It's gold. Does it clean your teeth? No, it doesn't clean you. It does absolutely nothing for your teeth. Zero. In fact, according to some, it can even be damaging. It can be damaging in and by itself, or if you combine it with another ingredient, that combination is very lethal, very dangerous. Okay? But glycerin does not, it's harmless. As far as we know, the way we use it, it's harmless. It does not clean your teeth. But if there's no glycerin in your toothpaste, then there's no toothpaste. And where does this glycerin come from? Chelev, an object which is a chiv kares d'oraisa, which you don't want to get involved with. And yet every single person that I know uses, puts this in their mouth. Some even every day.
The proof that it's not dangerous is that millions and millions of people use it and you don't see any problems.
I'm not saying it's dangerous. I'm talking about kores. I'm not talking about physical danger. Of course there's no physical danger. Of course not. Okay, I'm talking about kores. Glycerin is one of the main ingredients in your toothpaste. It's not there to whiten your teeth. It's there to give it consistency, smoothness, flavor. It should to preserve it. It's the magic ingredient, the best thing since sliced bread. But it very likely has been derived from the fats of an animal, perhaps a kosher animal, which would mean if you would take a kezias, an olive size of this ingredient, and would swallow it, the person would be liable for kores. They'd be cut off from this world and the next world. This is not just malchus aloysius. When I say dangerous, I mean dangerous in halacha. I don't mean any physical harm. And yet, no one has any problem putting this in your mouth every single day, even multiple times a day. Quite shocking, huh? So why is it permitted? What is the reason why this is permitted? So there, you have over here a lot of heterim. And let's just discuss some of the heterim. First of all, it's not meant to be eaten. No one's eating toothpaste. I've never seen a person sit down and eat toothpaste. Make a bracha on toothpaste. Ridiculous. No one is eating toothpaste. What is happening with toothpaste? It's just coming into your mouth, onto your teeth, onto your gums. And you're not eating it. Problem. What's the problem? There's a Ramah. The Ramah writes in Yaradeya that when it comes to forbidden foods, not only is it forbidden to swallow, to ingest the forbidden food, it is forbidden to taste. You have a delicious forbidden food. Go to a restaurant and they serve you a dish, $1,000 dish of chazer, of every dover osser in the world. Minat Torah, are you allowed to lick it? I just want to lick it. Put my tongue to it. I'll order the dish. I'll sit down in the restaurant. I want to put my tongue and have my tongue feel the taste of what this tastes like. Min ha-toyro, it's mutter. Min ha-toyro, it is only forbidden to ingest. Is that the right word? To swallow. But to put your tongue on a forbidden food and to taste, to feel the flavor of chazer, of everything that you want. Mutter! There is no punishment. There's no malchus. It's not even together chatzi shir. Chatzi shir means at least you ingest. I did a kezias. You can't give me malchus. I only ingested a chatzi zayis. But what about taste? That's not even in the category of chatzi zayis. So minatar it's mutter. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says, also, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do it. Don't you dare. I'm assuming it comes from a Rishon. Also. So now back with our question. Toothpaste, no one is swallowing toothpaste. No one. No one's going to swallow. But you are tasting it. You are tasting the flavor of glycerin. That's a problem. It's chelev. It's forbidden. And it's a significant amount. This is not the amount of glycerin in the toothpaste is a very significant amount. This is not a small amount. There's no bittel. You can't go, well, we'll get to the bittel in a moment. How is it mutter? So the first answer is this is a leniency. This is not necessarily in Ikar Hadin. It's a leniency, and the leniency is the only time the Ramah says it is forbidden to taste forbidden food is when you're tasting food. But if you are tasting something that is forbidden, that is not considered a food, the limit, the restriction of the Ramah does not apply. So granted, I'm not eating it. I'm only tasting it. And you're going to tell me, but the Ramah says you're not allowed to taste something that is forbidden. Wait a minute. The Ramah only says you're not allowed to taste something that is forbidden, which is considered in the eyes of the world a food. Toothpaste is not considered a food. Thus, to taste it is not forbidden. Okay, that is one avenue of leniency. Now, another avenue of leniency is it's a davar she'enoi mischavin. The case of the Ramah is where, you know, I'm paying $1,000 because I want to taste it. That's exactly the point. I don't want to miss out in this world on any delicacy. I have to know what this tastes like. I can eat it, but I want to know what it tastes like. You don't want to taste it. There's no one in their right mind that wants to taste, that wants to wake up in the morning, oh, I can't wait to brush my teeth. It's just the whole night I'm yearning because I can't wait for that delicious taste of the toothpaste. I can't sleep.
Rabbi, yeah? Rabbi, is it possible to have glycerin from not from chazer, from artificial?
I said yes. When we started the shiur, after you were here, when we started the shiur, I said yes. From vegetables, vegetables. We started the shiur with that.
So it's esophic. It's esophic what's in there.
Yes, we mentioned that. We mentioned that. There is esophic.
Okay.
Does that contribute? Not necessarily. Just because it's esophic, the fact is it's esophic. It's esophic deraisa. Chelev is a chiv karis. It's a chiv karis. You can't go into a restaurant and say, I'll take my chances. That's not the way halacha works. After the fact, when a person went and it was nichshol, oh, so you can say nu, so, you know, it wasn't so bad because it's esophic. But to enter into a situation where there's a real doubt, that's not something that you can rely upon. You can't do it. Generally, you can't do it. Is this a contributing factor to toothpaste? It's interesting. I don't think anyone said that over here. I read through this chapter. I try to read it very carefully. He doesn't write. He writes a lot of heterim, a lot of different svaros. Why the conclusion of the vast majority of the Gedolei HaPoskim is you do not need a hechsher, you do not have to hold back, and I don't recall anyone using that as a sniff, as a contributing factor to using toothpaste.
It's not only toothpaste, anything.
Everything. Mouthwash, lipstick, everything. Everything has glycerin today. Like I told you, glycerin is the magic ingredient, the best thing since sliced bread. It is. It's the magic ingredient.
The key halachic point is it's not food.
Correct. Well, there are many points. We can discuss. We're the only thing at a time. But we have, even though it's not food, everyone starts off with the Ramah. You cannot ignore the Ramah. The Ramah paskins lehalacha. Just because you're not swallowing it, it is forbidden to taste non-kosher food. You're not allowed to go into a restaurant and order a non-kosher dish and just lick it, to taste it. That is forbidden. Glycerin, toothpaste, you're not swallowing. Mouthwash, you're not swallowing. Lipstick, lip balm,
and
you're
it's
not swallowing.
Food. That's key.
Oh, you're not swallowing it. But you're tasting it. So now the Ramah doesn't make this distinction. The Ramah doesn't make the distinction between something that's called a food and something that's not called a food. This is something which the modern day Poskim have limited. Have modified, have expressed their opinion in what the Ramah means to say. The Ramah never said this. The Ramah's words are that not only is it forbidden to eat non-kosher food, it is forbidden to taste something that is not kosher. Along come the modern day Poskim, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and all the Gedolei Poskim, and that is, well, I'm throwing together a lot of things because there are a lot of different opinions. He puts over here together a lot together. So I don't want to say the wrong thing to the wrong person, but one of the major leniencies is to hold as a given fact, a God-given fact, that when the Ramah says it is forbidden to taste non-kosher matter, that's only if the matter is in the category of a food. But if it's not in the category of a food, even though indeed you are tasting it, and maybe even enjoying it, maybe you're even enjoying it, but it's not a food, and it's not kosher, it's not a problem. There's no prohibition, not the oiraisa, certainly, because you're not ingesting it, and not the rabbanan, because it's not a food. Oh, but I'm tasting the glycerin, which is chaylev. Gesunde hate, you're tasting it. Is it a food? Is the glycerin a food? It's an extract. It's a product that we've extracted from the fat. It's not fat, mamish. It's something which came. It's not a food. Chaylev is a food. It's fame in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about the whole day. Chaylev, chaylev, chaylev. Shuman and chaylev. You go into a restaurant. I would like a dish of shuman. Today it's unheard of, right? Today you know such thing. But in time of Gemara, you order fat. You go into the restaurant. I want a plate of just pure fat. A kazayis of chaylev. It was a food. Not today. But certainly, glycerin is not even that. It's not a food, it's an extract, a chemical extract that they've taken from this, and therefore, even though you are tasting it, you're tasting pure, real glycerin, permitted, don't confuse me with the shita of the Ramah. Now, next heter that we said is davar she'enoi mischavi. The average person, let's see lo'lach le'Ramah. Let's say Ramah doesn't distinguish between a food and a not food. Is it your kavana? Is that what you really want to do? You really want to taste it? I don't want to taste it. I want to brush my teeth. I couldn't care less about what it tastes like. Oh, it has flavor. Who cares? My goal today is to brush my teeth. My goal is to rinse out my mouth with mouthwash. And there's glycerin. Are you telling me that I'm tasting non-kosher matter? The Ramah is only discussing a case where you have intent. Where you have no intent to do so, it is permitted. Davar she'enoi mischavin. My intent is to brush my teeth. My intent is to rinse out my mouth. The flavor is not my goal here today. Then that's another layer of leniency. Next item. The next item reason is, now this is something which is very interesting, which is bittul, okay, nullification. Glycerin is not the only ingredient in toothpaste. You look on your toothpaste; there are a lot of ingredients. How much glycerin is there really in the toothpaste? Now this is something which is very interesting, which has changed over the years. I don't know anything. I'm just telling you what it says here in this book. Years ago, is no longer true today. Years ago, it wasn't all that long ago, toothpaste, then they added to toothpaste something called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, they added, one second, let me find what it says over here. Calcium carbonate. That used to be the main ingredient in toothpaste. In the time of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, when Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky lived, the main ingredient in toothpaste was calcium carbonate. Glycerin was a very small percentage. They used this other ingredient. Yes?
If I remember correctly, isn't calcium carbonate baking soda? And they used to say as a substitute you could brush your teeth with baking soda?
No. Baking soda is sodium carbonate. Calcium carbonate is chalk.
Chalk. Now, calcium carbonate used to be... Okay, let me look at this. It may be used...
It's an abrasive.
Let me just show you what it says over here. He reads that the rule of clash of tam ki ikar, Kate, that any non-kosher ingredient which affects the taste of the food causes the whole food to become forbidden only applies to foods, and therefore even if the paste contains a significant percentage of glycerin, it may be used as long as more than 50% of it is inedible calcium carbonate. That used to be the case in toothpaste. In other words, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said a very important chiddush, bittel. Now let's discuss, here's we're getting into some very nitty-gritty in the kashrus organization rules. Go to a kashrus agency. We have a general rule called tam ki'ikar. If you can taste something, that means it's not bottle. You got a problem. If you have a pot of food and you pour into the pot of food spices or non-kosher ingredients, and you can taste the non-kosher flavor or ingredients in your dish, it's treif. Treif. Tam ki'ikar. What happens if you don't really know? So we have a rule called shishim, bittul b'shishim. Now shishim means you don't need 60 times more to cancel non-kosher. If you could, it's clear in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a chef, a non-kosher expert, and he tells you, and he tastes the food, and you know as a fact that there is only, let's say, it's 1 in 30. The amount of non-kosher food that you have added into the food is, let's say, 1 30th, half of 1 60th. And an expert on taste tells you, I cannot detect any non-kosher flavor.
1 60th is...
The most, when you don't know.
Is less than 1 30th.
So 1 30th is an enormous amount. Right, so ordinarily, we're all brainwashed. In order for flavor to become canceled, there must be 60 times more kosher than non-kosher. That's not correct. That is not correct. What is correct is, it all depends on if you can taste it or not. It has nothing to do with numbers. For example, let's say you have a dish and there's non-kosher ingredients that makes up 1/30th of the dish. So that's not 1/60th. So off the bat, you would say it's treif. It's not kosher. It's not kosher because there is 1/30th of the ingredients, is 1/30th is not kosher. That's not true. If you would be able to give this to a non-Jew who's allowed to eat this stuff, and we can construct a case where we'll be able to believe him, and he will tell us, there is absolutely, I cannot detect the flavor of the non-kosher ingredients, it is permitted. It's bottle. When we use the number 1 in 60, that's a safeguard. Meaning that if we don't have available to us a non-Jew who can test for us, which is usually the case, so then we have to figure it out on our own in order to make sure that it is bottle, we need to come on to 1 in 60. It's like Rav Moshe says about Seis HaKochavim. When is Seis HaKochavim? 50 minutes after sunset. No, it doesn't mean that it's a science, Rav Moshe. 50 minutes after sunset is exactly when 3 medium stars come out. No, 3 medium stars can appear before 50 minutes after sunset. But because we don't exactly know what 3 medium stars means, after 50 minutes, we can be certain that 3 medium stars have already appeared. Same thing. 1 in 60 just means after you get to 60, you can be certain that you no longer can detect the flavor of the non-kosher. Now, these are very important rules. We need, in order to cancel flavor, ordinarily, we need 60 times more kosher than non-kosher. If that's the case, glycerin will never be bottled because glycerin is a lot more than 1 in 60. Glycerin makes up a significant amount of toothpaste. So there's no way in the world you're going to cancel the glycerin with the rules of bittul because there's 60 times more kosher ingredients than the little glycerin that appears in the food. No way. However, here comes the very important principle. When you're not dealing with foods, you're dealing with toothpaste or things of that nature, even though you can detect its flavor, you only need 50% to cancel the non-kosher. The rules of 60-1 are not operational when you're not dealing with a food. So in other words, glycerin is bottle, or it should be bottle, because the amount of glycerin, let's make an assumption that the amount of glycerin, it's definitely more than 1/60, so you can, and you can taste it. Guess what? You can taste, you can actually taste it. If a person who knows what glycerin tastes like, when you brush your teeth, you're tasting glycerin. You really are. You're tasting the flavor of glycerin. So if you're tasting the glycerin, so you can't say it's bottle according to the classic rules of Bittel. It's more than 1/60. You can even taste it. Guess what? It's not a food. If it's not a food, even if you can taste it, it doesn't matter. It's bottle because there is, it's chad betray. As long as it is the minority, as long as it's 49% of the toothpaste, it's bottle. As long as you have 51% of the toothpaste that's kosher versus 49% of the glycerin, even though I can taste the glycerin, it's bottle, chad betray. Oh, but I taste it. So what, you taste it? It's bottle. How could it be such a thing that I can taste it and it's bottle? Excuse me, this is not a food. If it's a food that you eat and this flavor, oh, then it's not bottle if you can taste it. Then you need the rules of 60-1. Toothpaste is not a food. We couldn't care less if you can taste the glycerin. It's not a food. Is there 51% of kosher ingredients in the toothpaste? Yes. Bottle, everything is fine and good. Now, this was the case. This was the case, I don't know how many years ago, a long time ago. A long time ago, the main ingredients of toothpaste, one of the main ingredients was calcium carbonate. All of this is Greek to me. But this ingredient was a significant amount, and it pushed, with all of the other ingredients, it pushed the ratio of kosher to non-kosher to more than 51% of kosher ingredients in every toothpaste to the amount of glycerin, which was definitely below 50% of the toothpaste. Not anymore. Today, the main toothpaste no longer use calcium carbonate. They've stopped using it. It's abrasive, it's damaging to the teeth, no more. They've replaced it with what's called hydrated silica. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Hydrated silica is now the replacement for whatever it did, whatever function this ingredient was used for. Maybe that was the cleaning agent. Okay, that was the cleaning agent, but it does too much. It can damage the teeth. So they have removed, the active ingredient. Okay, the active ingredient in your toothpaste used to be calcium carbonate, which was a significant amount, which together, that's kosher. Calcium carbonate is a kosher ingredient, l'chol adeus, and all the other things they put in there, and that would push the glycerin into the minority. It lost the election. But now we live in a new generation, and now we know too much. And we know now that calcium carbonate is not good for your teeth. No more calcium carbonate, it can damage the teeth, so they've removed that ingredient. And they replaced it with a new active ingredient called hydrated silica. But guess what? They don't need so much. The hydrated silica is potent. It can clean your teeth with a fraction of the volume that we used to use of the calcium carbonate. So what do they do to fill in the gaps? If you're going to take out, they've replaced it by adding more glycerin. And there's so much glycerin now that the glycerin already now is very likely, I don't know what the scientific studies are, more than 51%. So now we got a problem. All of this he writes over here in a footnote from Rabbi Belsky. This whole thing was a conversation with Rabbi Belsky. And Rabbi Belsky said that the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky years ago paskind, he was a very big Baal Halacha for Kamenetsky, and he paskind that toothpaste does not require a hechsher. Even if we assume the worst, that glycerin is chalev, chiv koris daraisa, but toothpaste is not a food. And being that the majority ingredients in the toothpaste are more than the glycerin is a minority ingredient, it's bottle chad betray. You don't need to come onto shishim. You don't need it to be bottled b'shishim. You can taste it. Gesunde Eid. The rule of taste only applies to foods. Does not apply to other items. And therefore, being that it's not a food, and the majority is our kosher ingredients, the glycerin, the chalev, is bottled. However, that, Rabbi Belsky says, was true in the lifetime of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. But today, we no longer use, in toothpaste, we no longer use calcium carbonate. We replaced it with a new ingredient, a new active ingredient called hydrated silica. That's the element, that's the ingredient which does the cleaning. That's what causes that's what does the cleaning on the teeth. That's the active ingredient. And that ingredient is potent. It does not need the same measure of volume as its predecessor of the calcium carbonate. And we have to fill in the missing volume. And the missing volume has been filled in by adding more glycerin. And now the ratio of the glycerin in your toothpaste is very likely 50 more than 51% glycerin. We no longer have the principle of Bittul. And therefore we got a problem. So what's the solution? The other solutions we've given. We have already two other solutions. That you're not swallowing this. You're tasting it. Tasting is permitted if it's not a food. The other solution, we said it's a davar she'eino mischar. I have no intent to taste it. No one can lose a sleep over yearning for a delicious toothpaste. It's not your kavana. So it's davar she'eino mischar and it's mutter. Now there are more things. There are more.
I just want to add one thing. You start with the pasuk with the ben shinayim echalav.
Yes.
I have a quotation from Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Okay. He used to say, it would be very nice if somebody would stand outside and give drinks of milk to somebody. Beautiful, healthy, but there's something to do that's even more important and more beneficial.
To smile.
Smile.
We said that. We said that. We said that. Right. The love of Hashem. Right.
And more beneficial that smile than just giving them milk.
Okay. We spoke about that. Okay. We spoke about that. Yes. Excellent. Yes. That is absolutely true. Okay. Now, there are other leniencies.
I have a question.
Yes.
If you have soap, are you washing yourself with soap? Are you allowed to taste it?
It's the same thing, yeah. It's exactly.
Soap is usually made from fats.
Exactly the same thing over here. The Ramah says, we just said that. The Ramah says you're not allowed to taste a forbidden food. Soap is not a food. Toothpaste is not a food. Mouthwash is not a food.
The way they make soap, they take all these old fat, chazer fat, and all the bones.
Chalev, yeah.
They cook it with a lye. A lye is worse than an acid. It's a poison.
Okay. So now you're coming on to another heter.
Now what they do is when they take the liquid that's left over in the producing of the soap, and under high pressure, they cook it very high, and the top water that comes off is the fat, and the bottom water becomes the glycerin.
Right. So you're coming on now to another heter. You want to say another heter, he doesn't talk about it in this part, in this section of here, is that ponim chadoshos bo'olakan. Glycerin is not chalev. Yeah, it came from chalev. It's an extract. Who says that when you chemically process, you take a food and you go through a very complex process of adding acids,
like distilling it, liquid.
Is this still considered to be the original product? Or do we say, ponim chadoshos bo'u l'kan? It's such a significant transformation. This is not what the Torah said is osir. The Torah said object A is osir. If you go through some transformation, this is a new object. I've extracted some chemicals. I've extracted some elements. This is not the pure original element. This has been manipulated. It's been transformed. It's not the original thing. So that's another leniency. Ponim chadoshos bohu lekan. It's not in the original form. So basically, we're coming over here with four different leniencies. Why toothpaste, mouthwash, lipstick, lip balm, all these products, they all have glycerin. Glycerin, I remember, it's the best thing since sliced bread. It's the perfect thing for all of these things to do. It solves all the problems. It's a preservative, that's one of the main, it's a preservative. It keeps these things fresh. It gives it smoothness. It takes away the bitterness of the other ingredients. Alamilus. The only chasarin is, it's chalev. At least usually it's chalev. So how do we deal with this? So we have to understand, this is a very important yesoid, bittul. It's but first thing you go to a kashrus organization and they have a dilemma, they have a problem. The word bittul is said, if you would have like a listening device and record the most popular word, like, you know, today in the world, the most popular word is social distancing, it's corona, is this, that, vaccine. Now probably the word vaccine is said a billion times a day across the world. Vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. If you go to a kashrus organization, what word is the buzzword that you would hear a billion times? Bottle, 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 bottle. Bittle, bottle, bittle, bottle. That's all you'd hear the whole day. First thing you got to ask is, you have an object, you have an item. Is it bottle or not? Well, we learned today a very big insight. When it comes to a food that you eat and you ingest, the rules of bittle are very strict. Taste is what counts. You must cancel the flavor. The way you cancel the flavor, you don't need 60 times more. You just gotta make sure you can't taste it. How do you do that? Well, you gotta speak to a non-Jew who's an expert in taste, and you have to be able to construct a situation where you are permitted in halacha to believe what he tells you. If you cannot do that, you have no choice but to fall back on the rule of shishim, 60 times more kosher than non-kosher. But let's say you're not dealing with a food. You're dealing with an object which taste is not an issue. You're dealing with, are you allowed to have pleasure from something? Let's say basa b'cholav. Basa b'cholav is asa b'hana. You want to go use basa b'cholav for some type of pleasurable experience. You're not eating it. You're using it as an anointment, a smearing on your body, whatever you're doing it for. Is that considered to be a... so then if it's not a food, so then we're bittle. What's bittle? Two in one. If 51... What?
You can't taste
the glycerin. That's what they
cannot,
say.
Cannot, because that's why they add flavorings and sweeteners.
It so seems... I hear what you're saying. He seems to say over here in this book is that you can't taste it. Glycerin is glycerin. You can't get away from the taste. There's something about it that doesn't... I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Today, maybe they put in other ingredients that are so powerful, sweeteners and flavors, mm-hmm. mints,
and
to take away,
yes.
To try to detract. But it seems all of these, the bottom line is a very significant chunk of the toothpaste is glycerin. Thus, all of the flavorings.
The smoothness you feel, that is glycerin.
Right. You can't deny it. It is a lot of the glycerin. So even with all the flavorings they're putting in, there's something there that is it's traceable. That's what he's saying over here. You'll find some exotic toothpaste that you'll pay an arm and a leg for. You can't even taste the glycerin. Maybe that would be different.
I mean, in the last 20 minutes, I had four different brands of toothpaste in the house, and I was reading the ingredients, and on Colgate, glycerin is the first ingredient. One of them, it's the third, and two of them don't have any glycerin in it.
How could that be?
So I don't know, but they.
What brand is that? What brand is that? What brand is that?
Ultra Bright did not have glycerin as an active ingredient, unless it's there without being listed.
They're not active. It's not an active ingredient. Glycerin is not an active ingredient. Glycerin is not an active ingredient.
But the fact is, it says inactive ingredient, but on Colgate, which says inactive ingredient, it's the first ingredient, is glycerin.
Right.
Tom's toothpaste, I quoted it in Cairo, says that their glycerin comes from
vegetables.
Humane plant
vegetables. Vegetables, right. So you have a Hersha. There's no question. You go by and they have Hersha.
You know, the whole thing is a very interesting story. When it comes to Pesach, Rabbi
that's
Vagya
different. Pesach is a whole different. This alcohol. That's a different story.
Rabbi Vagya Paskin, that citric acid is made from corn, but he says it's a new creation.
Kidneys. Yeah. Parim chadoshes. Parim chadoshes.
But nobody uses it. No, we don't use that on Pesach. Ascorbic. They don't use that on Pesach.
That's different. We're not discussing Pesach.
And the Minchas Yitzchak. This is the first tshuva he wrote when he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he actually curses him out without mentioning his name because he says it's chametz. So we're not talking about kashas, but that's a different story.
We're not talking about Pesach. Pesach is a whole different story. We're talking about regular kash the whole year round. We're talking about glycerin. So the bottom line is the bottom line is we have over here. Bittel, there's a very important rule in Bittel. Bittel, when it comes to a food, you need shishin. When it comes to a non-food, you need roiv. It used to be in the olden days, toothpaste, the majority, it was a given. The majority of any toothpaste you would purchase, the majority would be kosher ingredients. Even if it has glycerin, big deal. The glycerin is this bottle. I can taste it. Gesundheit, you can taste it. It's not a food. A rule of flavor of it becoming bottles only in a food. Toothpaste is not a food. We apply the rule of roiv. Today, you cannot necessarily say that as a fact. You have to know the proportion. And it's very likely in toothpaste, 51% of the toothpaste is glycerin. So you have a very big, the Bittel today is not going to be able to contribute to the leniency of using toothpaste. So what then are the other leniencies? Well, I'm not eating it. Who's a meshugana to eat toothpaste? I'm just brushing my teeth. Oh, but you're tasting it. The Ramah says you're not allowed to taste non-kosher food. Food you're not allowed to taste. But toothpaste is not a food, so there is no harm if I end up tasting it. And even if I do taste it, the Ramah is only discussing we having intent to taste it. I have no intent. I want to brush my teeth. Just because there's a flavor of glycerin, I couldn't care less about that. That's a Dar Shaila Mischavein.
One question
we wrote. Third leniency is, whoever said this is called glycerin? Whoever said this is called chelev? This is not pure chelev. Ponim chadosho is bohu lekan. This is an extract. There's been a chemical process. There have been many steps to take the original chelev and transform it into a product that we can put in toothpaste that can be preserved. It's a whole different product. It's not the original product. This is not what the Torah had in mind. So we're combining over here three different avenues of leniency. The result is that why not? You can brush your teeth with any toothpaste you want because what can possibly be? Mouthwash is exactly the same issue, and lipstick, and which may end up in your mouth a little bit, and any other type of thing like this. It is permitted according to most of the Gedolei HaPoskim. Of course, you're going to find a few Gedolim which are going to tell you it's Chelev, it's Deraisa, it's Karis. How could you do this? How can you put this in your mouth? Timtim Halev, you're going to find all these chumers.
Now, there is one question of a Rav who said to me, even if it is in all probability mutar to use any toothpaste, he says the idea of putting something that comes from an
chelev, karis,
bothers him so much
exactly.
That he only uses
kosher. You only use kosher, hechsha. Okay, ein achinami. This is not halacha. This is a sensitivity of chumrah. Yes. Okay, so to each his own. To Daniel, you always have to come in first to find what is the halacha. After you know the halacha, then you want to go into, you know, other issues of your feelings towards religion, and that's a separate issue. But we have to define halacha. Now there is really one big problem, which you can't avoid. And this really is a serious issue. Some want to suggest that toothpaste is no different than smearing oil, sicha. We know that on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, one of the five inuyim, one of the five forms of affliction, is you're not allowed to smear your body with oil. It's a tainug, it's an enjoyment. Now today to us this may sound a little bizarre. We're not common man that doesn't have any hanah from smearing oil on your body. This is something, okay, the moisturizer, there's this, that, but not like it was the time of Chazal. Chazal, they have oils, Esther Hamalka, Shisha Chadoshim B'Shemen Hamar, V'Shisha Chadoshim B'Abesamim. We read this pasuk, what? What are they doing in there? 6 months they smear oil on their body? Like what in the world is going on over here? Right? So to us, this is very, very bizarre. But in the world of halacha, smearing something forbidden on your body is equivalent to eating. It's the same din. It has the same prohibited status. And thus, some want to say, this is a very big chumrah, but it's something which has to be dealt with. When you brush your teeth, what do? You only brush your teeth? You don't just brush your teeth. You end up brushing your gums, right? You want to get those parts of the toothbrush, you know, deep down in there.
That's where flossing comes in.
Okay, so you end up in the process of applying the toothpaste to your gums, and you rub it on your gums. That's a fact. It ends up rubbing. Is that called sicha? Is that the equivalent? Is that the equivalent of taking oil and smearing it on your hand? You're not allowed to take chalev. It is forbidden to take forbidden fats and smear it. Smearing in your mouth, not on your arm, but applying a lotion or an oil and smearing it, not ingesting it, but rubbing it on your gums, according to some, is equivalent to eating. So even though ein achinami toothpaste is not a food, okay, it's not a food, but it is an anointment. And an anointment in your mouth is equivalent to ingesting it, which would basically mean all of the rules of food, of forbidden food, should now apply to toothpaste. If toothpaste was a food, make believe, wake up in the morning, and the procedure is, you take your toothpaste and you squeeze out, and you put it in your mouth and you swallow it. Make believe that is the process. It would be categorically forbidden because glycerin. The glycerin is there. You can taste the glycerin. It's not bottle. There's nothing to talk about. It's forbidden. So all of our heterim are based upon the principle, not all, but the principle is, this is not a food. Excuse me. This is not a food. This is whatever it is. It's a paste. And therefore, all the rules of Shulchan Aruch that apply to bittul, they don't apply to toothpaste. Everything is, forget about it. I don't care. You can taste it. You can't taste it. We're not discussing a food here, so don't confuse me. Okay, you're right. It's not a food, but it's an anointment. If you'd only put it on your bone, on your teeth bone, okay. But that's not what you do with toothpaste. Toothpaste is applied on the gums to some degree. Is that the main intent? Not really. But certainly when they manufacture toothpaste and they sit in the laboratory and figure out how to make toothpaste, they certainly take into account how the toothpaste is going to react with your gums. It would be a very different product if the toothpaste was only applied to the teeth and not applied to the gums. If you were able to have such precision and only touch the teeth and not touch the gums, I guarantee you the product would be a very different product. Correct? It'd be a very different product. So the fact is, they're making a product that they know is going to be applied partially to your gums.
It doesn't really do anything for the gums.
Okay, but the bottom line is, it is being smeared on the gums. And this is a chumrah. This is incidentally, but it is being done. So this is now an argument that if you are smearing it on your gums as an anointment, that upgrades, and that's what's supposed to be done, that upgrades it into the status of a food. Food is not just something which you ingest. The laws of food apply things that you smear, that you sicha, that you use like as an anointment. Oh, if that's the case, then the rules are reactivated, and it's not bottle, and you can taste it. Now we're getting into trouble. So some hold, this is probably the best argument to be machmir. The best argument to be machmir is, you're right, it's not a food, but it's a lotion that you smear, like you anoint in your mouth, and you're not ingesting it, but something that you smear in your mouth has the status in halacha as a food, and all of the rules are back in play. There's no bittul anymore, and you can taste it. And being that you're tasting it, it's a forbidden item. You're not allowed to do that according to the Ramah. So we got a problem. And that's why it would be a good idea to have a toothpaste which has a heksher or does not, or has glycerin. I mean, heksher means it has glycerin from a kosher source, or whatever they do, whatever they decide to make it kosher. Obviously, 90% of the Jewish population is not concerned with that argument. And all the Gedolei HaPoskim of Moshe Feinstein and Yaakov Kamenetsky and all the Poskim in today's day and age of Heschel Shechter, a whole long list. All right, Bleich, I have over here a list that goes on to the very end of the page. Bottom line, they're not concerned with that argument, and they hold you can purchase any toothpaste that you want. But he does have a nice list also on the other side of the page. That I'll tell you a joke to include the joke. We'll talk about different lists. Someone told this to me 2 days ago. I found it very, very funny. A person comes to a Rosh Hashiva and he says to Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva, I have an Edim, or my son, he's such a Grois Talmud Chacham. Can you give him a job? Can you give him a job in your yeshiva? He knows Kolot HaRakula, please give him a job. So Rosh Hashiva says, you know how many people want a job? What could I do? I'll put you on the list. He takes out his piece of paper from this pocket. I'll put him on the list. You should look how long the list is. So then the person says to Rosh Hashiva, you don't understand, Rosh Hashiva. I'll pay the salary. He just needs a shtela. I'll pay the salary. I'll pay more than the salary. Give him the job. Don't worry about the money. So the Rosh Hashiva says, oh, you mean the other list. The other list. Okay? That's a joke. But it's a bit of a gelechta. But in any event, he has here a long list of Gedolei HaPoskim and Matir, and then he has a list, another list of those who take this very seriously and holding you should be, that whole you should be machmeh. Obviously, I think amongst us, we never really heard from Chumers on this matter. But it's definitely something very interesting. And I really want to do a lot more. I want to talk about the bone grafts and about Kohanim, which is very, very fascinating, which has a whole set of rules.
Go back to glycerin for a second. What about people who get sugar water and you give them glycerin into the veins?
Into the veins? That's not a food. In the veins? What do you say, in the veins?
Yeah, intravenous.
That's not a food. That's, of course, that's mutter. You can feed intravenous chazer. You can put intravenous chazer. That's achila, asr achmana. To put food into the body, the shleik derech achila, mutter lechatchila. Mutter, there's no such issue whatsoever. The achila is only derech achila. Anything that's done intravenous is never an issue.
If you would say that, you wouldn't be allowed to have a blood transfusion. You're right.
You're putting blood. The achila, the dam. That's not it. We're talking only derech achil. Okay, mir term tomorrow, we'll continue with some other issues about teeth. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Be well. A baruch. Miss you yesterday.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Have a good day. Baruch, you there?
I'm here.
We missed you yesterday.